Hey, this is TV personality Eric Bolling.
And NFL Hall of Famer Brett Favre.
We're coming together for a new weekly podcast. Everyone, you got to subscribe. Bowling with Favre, from politics, sports, finance, culture, nothing off the tables, maybe even a Kardashian comment. One of the disappointing things of the whole Trump administration was when he left office and pardoned 143 people, the Tiger King didn't get a pardon. I mean, are you kidding me?
I watched one episode, by the way.
He was a good guy.
Was he, though?
I don't know. I liked him a lot more than Carol Baskin.
Get new shows every week from Podcast One and LiveByLive.com. Old friends, great stories, intriguing conversation on Bowling with Favre.
We may talk a little hunting. That's your neck of the woods, Brett.
And biking.
And biking and hiking. Subscribe now on the Podcast One app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, LiveByLive.com, and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
We're getting started because it's shift and stare, pal. Come on. Hey, how you guys
doing? I'm already
doing?
Sick of it.
Everybody.
Let me tell you something, pal.
Yeah, pal. I got to tell you, it's hilarious. It's catching on, man. I've had two people on social media respond to me, pal. And I had a guy on the phone go, he was buying some wheels. And he goes, thanks, pal. And he goes, I heard that on the show. And I was like,
ruining America.
Nice. We like that. Hey, we got a great show today. We've got a bunch of crazy stuff that's happening, and we're going to talk about it. And but first,
and then some.
First, we got to have a word from our sponsor.
Yeah, our friends at Geico. We talked about owning your home or renting your home and how much work it can be. But, you know, what's easy, it's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
What is that?
So I know.
Is that geico.com?
It's Geico.com.
It's Geico, right? It's Geico? Yeah.
It's Geico.
Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
I know you guys got some wacky news things to go over, but I just want to kick it off. Just a little bit of good news. I don't know if you heard, but our friends over at Holley, that's been buying companies and putting them all under one umbrella and making the parts accessible. I don't know. They have 40, 50 companies. Well, they are going public. They're going public via SPAC. If you don't know what that is, just have to look it up. But it's somewhere between an IPO and a direct listing. It has to do with merging another company. But now that they are going public, they get to disclose some numbers, and they, I'm happy to say, because we're fans of the company, they had a fantastic year. A lot of people spent stimulus checks over at Holley Performance Group. I believe revenue was up as much as 25% the last year.
Wow.
They have over $500 million in total revenue, and the company going public is going public at a valuation of $1.55 billion.
Wow.
So $1.5 billion for the Holley, which we knew acquired Edelbrock and CompCam's got Edelbrock, I believe. But Holley has MSD and Hooker Headers and
all kinds
NOS
of.
They got hookers.
And one of the things that they pointed out was the best-selling parts right now are the newest parts, meaning the EFI conversions, the fuel injection kits, everything from the, you know, the Sniper bolt-on carburetor replacement EFIs all the way up to their Dominator series have been doing very, very well. So it's exciting for all of our friends who have been there, especially the guys that we know that have been there 15, 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
You know, their lifers over there, and to be able to see all their hard work, you know, have, you know, a public valuation given to it. And I mean, I've got no problem with, you know, buying a little bit of Holly stock just to say we have it. So, you know, be interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Let's hope the EPA doesn't shut it all down.
Yeah, I right.
That's it. Yeah, I said my piece. I'm good.
The SPAC are kind of a new hybrid of what used to be called reverse mergers. You know, it's like they have a shell they go into, and they put it all in there, and it allows them to do it much faster. And it's
and reliably, I would think, too, because they have so many revenue streams.
Yes. So another thing is called a direct listing, where when you go public and you IPO, you can sell a percentage of your company to the public market.
Right.
So you raise money for the company. Some of the investors are able to liquidate as well, not their entire position, but I think when you IPO, Brad, you probably know it's something like you can sell like 20%. I don't know that you can do
it. Really, more than it really depends on the listing. Like, you know, when I took my company public, we weren't allowed to sell anything for a certain amount of time. And then later on, there was a shelf registration and I was allowed to sell some. But
yes, those are the individual shareholders, but the company sells 20%.
The company can sell, and individual shareholders, depending on what the offering is. So it really, really depends. And, you know, what you really want to do if you can is hold on to it and ride the wave up, you know, which is what most offerings do. So it'll be interesting to see, because they have acquired so many companies and so many great iconic brands.
Well,
it'll be good.
This is going to bring more cash into the company, reward all the shareholders, but bring more cash. And they said they will be doing more acquisitions. They will be looking to acquire some more companies, but it's going to be interesting for sure. But there are other big roll-ups that have happened in this space as well. A lot of them are funded by private equity companies. So I would have those companies would be considering going public as well under some form.
Well, all the private equity groups, they've got to realize, what's our exit strategy? You know, where do we, all this money we've put in, where do we get it out? And that's what they do, is they look at a public offering so they can get their input to output. But this isn't the financial hour. This is the, it's fun to talk about, but it is kind of fun to look behind the scenes. But something that you said, Aaron, we can touch on here real quick, is the RPM Act. If you've been watching social media and guys like David Freiberger and some of our other friends that have been putting up and no racing, this is something that we've been fighting for a long time. SEMA has been, you know, fighting this for a long time. But the problem is, what we forget is that not everybody in government is an enthusiast, and that can be dangerous to our hobby.
It doesn't just affect racing. Unfortunately, they're going to pull the rug out from a whole industry of aftermarket, you know, in the U.S. and around the world. It's really a very small and narrow minded view of our problem in the world. And you know, diesels on the racetrack, which is like, I can't even find a percentage to show you physically of that. It's ignorant. They aren't looking, like you said, Brad, they're not car people. They're not looking at the hobby and the big picture of it. They're looking at an agenda or a marketing ploy, or just maybe getting some attention to what they're doing, knowing that, hey, it'll never get passed, but we just want attention on it right now to raise consciousness. Who knows, man, but God, I'm sick of this shit, you know?
So some of the problem is that racing and modification and things like that get grouped into some of the bad things. Like,
yep.
It's like everything. It's, you know, the street racing, the street takeovers that are so popular right now, and that leaves a bad taste in everybody. And don't everybody forget SEMA. One of the reasons we have SEMA is because of this. Back in the 70s, when the CARB legislation, that's hard to say, came out, and it almost ruined the aftermarket right there. They were saying no more manifolds, no more headers, no more carburetors.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of the old manifolds and stuff have those EGR valve block off plates and, you know,
stuff.
So, you know,
but the thing is they're trying to cut off the head of an entire body and not just snip off the ear that's hearing this stuff. You know, it's not a simple solution, but that is not it. It just affects too many things. And I think it's going to ruin it. You know, it's going to put a lot of business out the window and a lot of jobs out the window, all for just a little tiny percentage of the problem, teeny tiny percentage of the problem.
At the end of the day, really what we're saying, guys, is find, like David Freiberger's listing, follow the link, sign the petition, because the more names they get on it, the more it helps. And
what we're looking for is the RPM Act. We want to endorse the RPM Act, because that's our friend, and that's what SEMA is representing, and that'll hopefully just nip this thing at least for another 5-6 years. I don't know how long it was from the last one, 2016 or something, was it? 15, 16?
I don't think it ever ended. It just kind of...
Well, true. But the last time it reared its head.
Here's the thing worth mentioning is, keep in mind the government always rolls something into some sort of legislation, right? Because there's always negotiating going on. So, and often those little things that are hidden in the legislation are what push a vote one way or another.
Right.
So you think you're voting on the RPM Act and saving racing, but somebody in the government is voting on something else, right? Because they want that little hidden favor in there. So,
it's a mess.
So it is important that we speak out about that. And then the other thing is, you kind of do need to speak up. I mean, we're beyond the too big to fail. So for us to sit back and kind of watch and go, there's no way this is going to happen. There's no way they're going to take away racing. It'll work itself out. I know SEMA and the people are doing their thing. It actually takes more than that. It does take a little more. And I'm not trying to make a whole pitch on why you should vote or whatever. But, it is helpful if you support this. And the way to do it is you go to SEMASAN.com. And right up there is the big banner that says Save Our Race Cars. If you click on that, you will get to the page where it's a very simple form. You just type in your information and it sends a message to your respective senators or U.S. representative. And at least that helps. That's basically you just signing that petition going, hey, you know, pay attention to this. By the way, I filled it out and I sent it to here in California, and I got a response back, like a boilerplate thing, and it was kind of shitty. It was like a boilerplate going, yeah, we appreciate you like your cars, but you know, the future is not
that. But we don't like you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So either they're just being kind of shitty about it, or
well, see, that is the problem right there in a nutshell, because that's why because if so many names come in, they can't deny it. They've got to go, wow, wait a minute. We had X amount come in. Now we got to tell you to look at it. Because if it's just a few names, it's exactly what you said, Matt. And the thing is don't forget, if you're just into street cars, you know, pro touring or a hot rod or truck or something like that, don't say, I'm not a racer. If they get one notch, they'll go to the next notch, and it'll just...
You're absolutely right. Overlanding, anything off-roading, even just...
Anything modified, period. Yeah. That all goes away.
They're going to take it all away.
In fact, we'll put that link on the Facebook and Instagram and Twitter page for Shift Steer Media. And go there, check it out. And now just remember on Instagram, that we'll be able to put it, but it won't be linked through. So check it out on Facebook especially.
Yeah, SemaSand, SemaSand.com is also the direct link. So we'll get it, but you guys should definitely
just educate yourself, folks, and see where you stand. You know, if you're at all a car person and you can grasp what's going on, because it's federal, you know, it's not a state thing. It's not a state's decision. It becomes federal. And it affects a lot of things. It's not just racing. I got a race car, a street modified car. If that goes away, you know, who gives a shit? But yes, it affects everything, if not now, in probably the near future. It's just, like you said, Brad, it's just one more notch that they get to carve out and stand behind. Yeah. Like, we got this done. We're going for this now.
I just thought of something, guys. I mean, if this would go through, all you would hear, this show would be just like the beginning. We'd be talking financial stuff. But it wouldn't be about cars. It'd be, you know.
But this isn't just cars. This is cars, trucks. It affects motorcycles. You know, as you said, it affects pretty much everything that's aftermarket. So anyway.
Hey.
Onward.
Let's talk about something fun.
Okay.
What are you driving,
puppies,
man?
Puppies.
I had a puppy find me yesterday. I'm unloading my truck, getting some stuff out, and I heard this jingle, jingle, and I'm like, what the hell? And I thought it was the box I was lifting. I do it again. I hit it, and all of a sudden, I feel something on the back of my leg. And I look down. Like,
it was an alligator. Whoa.
Little bitty puppy. And I look around. Nobody around. I mean, I'm like going, where'd this puppy come from? And I pick it up. I'm playing with it, rubbing its belly and stuff. And all of a sudden, I hear some guy. And he's like looking around. And he's from the restaurant across the way. And he goes, oh, good. You found my lunch. And he goes,
I wasn't going to say it.
I go, dude. I go,
might get sued.
I said, you've seen cars roll through here. I said, that little dude could have got crushed. And he goes, I know. Somebody left the door open. We just got him. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's not going to be around for long. But yeah. So,
also, don't eat at that restaurant. I just have a bad feeling.
The day's
I heard their dog kebabs are really good.
Yeah.
When you go over
and
you
say, not lamb.
Hey, you want me to pick you up a couple dogs across the street? It's got a whole different meaning.
Yeah, right?
Okay, hey. When you guys were growing up, did you ever look at, you know, like the kids riding the Schwinn muscle bikes that had the shifter that looked like a stick shift? It had the back and the Springer fork and all that.
Things. Yeah, sure.
I remember thinking, man, that'd be so cool to have one of those. And, you know, the closest I ever got was a Huffy with a drag slick on the back, you know, and my parents couldn't afford a Schwinn, you know. Schwinn's
was terrible in the rain.
They were top of the line. You know what's funny? You know, the drag slicks, you know, you just ride them on a bike, no big deal, right? You know, it's like, till you got into knobbies for BMX, you could get away with them. But I could never get them to burn out. I could never spin them fast enough.
But you need some of those Eric Heiden legs.
Yeah. Hey, so Matt, did you ever want one of those bikes?
I kind of did, but I never had one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Brad, there was always Brad, a kid was, in the road that had one.
Matt wasn't alive yet. He wasn't around yet when those were
out. No, they were still kind of hanging around, especially if you're a car guy. You knew about them. Which one did you want, Aaron? They made all those.
I honestly wish I could remember. I don't know if I remember. I think I wanted a go-kart. I think I was over bicycles by then.
It's like, actually, Aaron, you brought up a good point. It's like when I saw them and started appreciating them, they was way after they ended, right? Like,
yeah.
Well, I honestly think that they gained a little bit more. You know, they were just like the cool bike growing up. But then they started gaining. You started seeing them, you know, pop up here and there. And now they're like crazy. Now they made, you know, several of them. They made the orange one, which they called the orange crate, a white one called the cotton picker, which I don't know if we can even say anymore.
Oh, man.
The gray ghost, the pea picker, the lemon peeler, the apple crate, and the apple crate was cool because it was candy apple red. I always liked the orange crate. I only ever saw one gray ghost in my entire life.
Wow.
But they had the 5-speed shifter. They had the disc brake. They had, you know, the Springer seat, the Springer front end, the banana seat. And
they're crazy looking.
They were, you know, they're supposed to look like a dragster or something. But you got to remember, this was $100 for a bike in 1971. I mean, that was a fortune, man.
Yeah.
And but nowadays, there's what brought all this up was I've seen them. You know, you see them at the swap meets, and you see them, excuse me, on eBay, and they're $1,200-$1,500 a piece. But there's some collector that has all of them. You buy the entire collection, one of each, and they're all original except for, he said, some of the seats are replacement, and $15,000.
Wow.
I mean, what a cool thing to have as a collectible, though, to have all of these bikes just lined up on your wall, you know, button style, just flat against the wall, you know, layered up. That'd be so cool, you know.
I think what's cool about them is it shows that in the 60s and the 70s, how much a part of the culture was the muscle car and the drag racing, because
Peter
Schwinn made an entire, you know, line of bikes dedicated to that look, kind of that drag racing look. And I remember there were the, you know, the chopper bikes and the, you know, all kinds of stuff. There was all kinds of crazy stuff. And then in the mid 70s, when BMX started getting, all those bikes got stripped down to the bare, the fenders got torn off of them. And you put some, you know, first it was the, you know, the box bars and an Astrobula fork, I mean, stem, because you break a stem off, nothing flat, just jumping. And, you know, then we started getting the bikes like the Mongoose and the, you know, and there again, the Mongoose bicycle line was started by Skip Hess, who was an altered driver. He drove altered drag cars, and he took his knowledge from that and started making the Moto Mags and the Mongoose bicycles. So it was pretty cool. There's a real heritage link there between custom cars and bicycles that you can kind of find even today, because so many guys in the hot rod and custom car world started with bikes. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
But, and look at the strange Tim and Carrie there. They're still balls deep in it, man. They're racing. Carrie, yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's and a lot of others too, but I always see their posts. I giggle a little bit, you know.
Right. These guys that are out there over 40 that are racing, I'm like going, man, you know.
I know, right? Dang. And there's no technology in that. They're not full suspension. They're old school.
Yeah, you go down, you know, I don't know. I don't want to injure myself at this age.
Right, right.
But now
what size is that front wheel? The rear is a 20, right?
Yeah.
And what's a front wheel?
A 12? Like a 13 or a 12.
A 13, yeah.
13, if I remember right. It was really odd.
Man, that thing must corner really good. Mm-hmm. Have a quick turn in. And then a fold over and over the bars while that thing grabs you. And then, oh, nah, I'm good.
Hey, you know what? The dream is that you're driving past a garage sale and you look and you go, what? You turn and you find one of those. And the guy goes, hey, it's just an old bike my kid had. And you go, wow, cool. Can I buy it? And he goes, yeah, $20.
You know?
Or even better would be, yeah, I used to own a Schwinn store. I got a whole garage full of that crap. Oh. And you go, yeah, four.
Well, that's like my Red Rocker bike, man. It's the same kind of story, except it came to me, you know, $100 for a, man, you know, $5,000 bicycle. I got it hanging from my ceiling. I don't even want to ride it. It's near mint.
Matt, huh? You should buy those bicycles.
Yeah, I already did.
Exactly where you could display them. Put on them. Top of your racks there.
Yeah. Top of that beautiful top. Rack.
Yeah, just have them all set on there, man. Right there.
In line. Yeah. Maybe facing front to front, back to back, front to front, back to back.
Man, people come in and be like, dude, you've got every one of the Schwinn bikes.
Yep.
And you go, yeah, and my Mustang's not done because I paid $15,000 plus shipping.
Yeah, there is that.
Oh, boy. There's that.
It's like the guys that I see at Barrett Jackson on the mornings when they do the signs and all the memorabilia and stuff. And I see these guys paying like $15,000 for one giant sign or something. I go, man, dude, you've got all your collection now that you're buying stuff to hang on the wall for that kind of money, you know? And yeah. I've seen guys sit there and bid and bid and bid, you know, you just go, wow.
That's crazy. My buddy's got a few of those big signs. I've been after him for years, but he just won't give them up. And he says there's a guy, he won't give up his name either, who he gets them from, who's local, who's got a shit ton of them. I'm like, come on, Ralph, give a brother some love.
I was just at the Corolla studio the other day, and he has the giant round light-up sign from the Man Show. It's the big...
I've seen that before. Yeah,
and it's like 5 feet in diameter, and he's got it hanging from the ceiling, and it's plugged in and it works. There's a switch on the wall so you can turn it on.
That's cool.
Yeah, it looks good. And there's a smaller one that I don't think you've seen. It's in the other shop. It's like a 2 foot diameter smaller Man Show sign. So it's kind of neat. I think that's all he's got left from that.
I'm so desperate for a big sign, I was thinking about buying this one.
Cool old retro Taco Bell sign.
It's the old Taco Bell sign.
Cool.
Where do you put it?
The guy wants $400. I'm like, man, do I want it? Yeah, maybe I do want a Taco Bell sign in my shop.
Pretty good price for 400. I mean, pretty good sign for $400.
It's 12 feet by 6 feet. Damn right it is.
Where are you going
to
put it?
It's fiberglass, and it looks to be in pretty darn good condition.
Where is it?
Placerville. It's right down the street from
me. Okay, because I was going to say, you're not going to ship that sucker. You're going to
pay for it. Yeah, right. comes in a $4,000 crate. Yeah.
Trust me, I'm crating a KZ motorcycle right now back in Detroit. And it's.
But that would be pretty funny to walk into a Rat Runner garage and see a big old school Taco Bell sign from the 80s, right? Isn't that from the 80s? Like when we were.
That might be from the 70s. That looks like.
You think it's old? Yeah, you think it's that old?
Could be.
Doesn't look like it's been restored. It still has some rough spots. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Let us know in the comments.
If you get it, you have to get a cast iron bell to put in there so that whenever somebody
got one
in and goes, oh, a Taco Bell sign, you go, ding.
Yeah, I've got one. I've got my grandpa's old Liberty Bell. God, the thing's probably... That's 18, 20 inches diameter. Yep.
You got to have a ding. Hey, you guys.
Got a ding, all right.
I'm going to bring up something. You know, it's old news as far as they've been making them for a while, but the Broncos continue to, you know, the restored Broncos, the modified Broncos, the older ones.
Right, 70s, 60s, 70s Broncos, right?
Yeah. Oh,
the good ones. So
you see them at auction. You see all the ones listed for this coming Barrett Jackson at Mecum and all that. And they're getting great money. And there is a guy that lives not too far from me who restores Broncos and old – he actually makes aluminum trailers. You know, the teardrop ones, the really cool ones?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask if it was Bader, but Bader doesn't make trailers.
No, I'll see this guy out there, and he'll be starting on a frame, and then pretty soon he'll have the frame done. Then you'll see him, he does it all in his driveway. And then you'll see him welding up the sidewalls. And then sheets it with polished aluminum, rivets it all on by hand. I mean, he makes them just old school like they used to, and they are beautiful. But but now I've noticed he's got a couple Broncos there, and he just finished a gold one, and they look really nice. But what I'm getting at is that, do you guys remember when Dynacorn announced that they were going to make Bronco reproduction bodies?
Right, yeah.
At SEMA years and years ago, they had the body hanging off the ceiling from the
Exactly. At 2012. Above the
floor, but, yeah.
But I don't ever hear anybody talking about it. You know, I hear him talking about, you know, the 69 Camaro bodies and the Mustang bodies. But I wonder how many of those bodies are getting used, because, you know, it'd be a great starting point for so many great Bronco projects.
I would say yes, but I have spoken to, when like a lot of those Mustangs and Camaro bodies are coming out, I spoke to a bunch of hot rod builders,
talking about the VIN thing,
you know, not the VIN thing. But they were saying, yes, they're good repops and they show up as accurate as possible. But when you're trying to fit different pieces together, it's the amount of hours they spend on the metalwork to get it to work is about as much, if not more, than restoring a lot of the metal on an existing car. They're saying you get a repop Camaro body, and then you're trying to get the door to fit correctly and the fenders to fit correctly. Like, in theory, it all seems good, but it's so tough to get them to kind of fit well that it takes a lot of work. I'm sure there are uses for it. I wouldn't rush out and start a business where you're going to try to build 50 new Broncos, you know, with whatever salvage VINs or something, whatever you're going to do, or hot rod cars or kit cars, however you want. I wouldn't try to assemble 50 of these things from scratch. A guy like Jonathan Ward at Icon, who's cranking out Broncos, high dollar Broncos, he still looks for Broncos and makes them better. He's not, because at this point he has a chassis that goes underneath it. You know, I think Art Morrison exclusively makes him Bronco chassis, and he makes a bunch of these Broncos. I mean, if it was that easy as buying a Dynacorn body, I think he'd be doing it. I just don't know that it's that easy.
But I don't know.
I think Dad had that problem.
We're talking about the guy in his garage who maybe, you know, wants to just do a project. And because, yeah, there's always fit and finish issues. There's always that. But they've been selling a lot of these. It surprised me.
They're popular.
The Camaros.
Yeah, like up here, there's tons of Broncos. I mean, it's a mountain region, you know, and I see Broncos and the Scout twos, you know, and all the time on Craigslist. And yeah, they've gone up like crazy, but they're out there. But, you know, the original Broncos, and I think the Scouts too, but the Broncos, they had a lot of structural rust problems in an area like this that's real wet.
Unibodies are always like that.
Yeah, but some of those parts are pretty nasty, and you got to really do a full, complete teardown and restructure. I mean, the Dynacorn is a really nice option for that type of hobbyist. They're very expensive, so for that type of hobbyist that's going at that level. Dad, a Gateway Mustang made Dad a 67 Mustang years ago.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a Dynacorn body. And I can tell you right off the bat that there's a lot of fitment issues, especially with the interior, because I believe that the inside dimensions of that car are slightly smaller than a factory 67. Could be wrong, but I remember Dad mentioning it too. And there's a couple pieces that are pretty modified, like they cut it in half and had to put it, seam it back together. There's a couple of rough patches, and I believe it was because of that body fit.
Now, Brad, to your point, yes, if you're building one of these, you're restoring it, and it's your project, and you're not trying to make a $200,000, you know, world-class, right. Yeah.
You just don't want rust problems.
Yeah, and yeah, like let's say you're going to run the Bronco and you don't worry too much about perfect door gaps, or if you're going to run doors at all, then yes, then this starts to become a better solution, right? Because now you're saying,
you throw a crate motor in it, you buy a rear end from like Curry Brothers.
Yeah, you're a bolt-on hobbyist, not a metal fabricator, you know? Yeah.
Right. which is tough, yeah. You know, fabrication and all that stuff. So,
it
does start to make sense in that respect, but, you just know what you're getting yourself into when you're picking up one of these reproduction bodies.
Yeah.
And what's the body? So, 10 grand?
No, they're usually more. If you buy the whole body, they're usually more in the 16 to $20,000 range.
Yeah, so, which is pretty normal of any kind of body in steel. You look at a 356 body, a 550 body, you know, Cobra body, any of those. You're looking at, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 grand for a body in steel or alloy. But
no, I take
it's
it
a
back.
Cool option, one, and we can this, do that now.
Let's look real quick here.
Do you have some prices, Brad?
Well, I'm looking at old prices. Because this is from a old. Let's see.
Oh, $9,900. Yeah, Matt, you're right. Dynacorn, the body shell will be $9,995, and that will be a few months before all the details finalize. I don't know how much of the body that is, but just the shell. Guys,
it's not even on their website anymore.
Yeah, it's not on the website.
Oh, really?
But Brad, to your point, a 65 Mustang, the Dynacorn reproduction 65 Mustang, is $17,500.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a 70 Chevelle, just the body, no front fenders, anything like that. So the main body with doors, $17,500.
That's and there's a $500 crating fee, so it's $18,000.
Yeah.
It's still reasonable for a perfect form, so to speak, no rust work, no you know, huge modifications or fabrication or anything. I mean, that's not bad. You're going to pay a body shop at least that to do all the rest work on a body, on original body like that, you know, body and paint. Oh man, that's going to be healthy because labor is expensive. So
it's
a nice option. Definitely a nice option. You know,
it's an interesting way to go. It's you do have to, you know, also worry about the VIN and how you're going to handle that. So that's always.
So right. Let's say
this wasn't meant to be a kit car. This was meant to be if you own a vehicle,
if you own
a Bronco, and it's just rusted out beyond recognition, you would basically transfer that VIN to that new body.
You know where I would love to do this? Let's say that I have a 65, 66 Mustang coupe that I've had in the family for 30 years, and it's a rust bucket, and it's shit, and I really want a fastback, but I can't afford a $25,000 shell on Craigslist for a freaking fastback. Great option. You get that. You convert yours to the fastback. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I would do that for 17 grand. I'd buy a fastback, you know, hell yeah. Mustang.
Yeah.
Fastback Mustang.
Not fastback Bronco.
The Camaro, the 69 Camaro, man.
I'm not a Camaro guy. I appreciate him, but I don't get it.
Everybody likes a Camaro.
I don't. I sincerely don't. I don't find anything about them attractive, and I know I'm going to get hate for this, but I don't like them. I don't like the Chevelles. I like the weirder stuff. Not to say I'm a nut over a Mustang, but come on, I've got three Isettas. Really?
You
like a Camaro?
There's nothing but sexy about the 69 Camaro body style. I mean, that's like, you know, one of the best body styles ever produced.
I would rather have a Citroen.
You could take one of these, Aaron. You could paint it red and make it a pro touring car and have a car like nobody else has.
My point exactly. Okay, I would get an 8-man. I would get an 8-man Citroen. And customize that before I do a Camaro ever all day long.
Of course you would.
Although I do like the Camaro, but if you want to stir up some controversy.
Fox body Mustang.
No, nothing to do with Mustang. What I was going to say is I am not a fan of a cowl induction hood. Any cowl induction hood. I'm just not a fan. I don't like them on the trucks. I don't like
backwards.
Them on the... Even the 69 Camaro, that's about as good looking as you can get with it with the cowl induction hood. I'm not a fan. I think it's backwards. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Man, I can't see over it. I don't like it on Matt.
I can't be on a show with you guys.
I'm with you, Matt. I'm with you.
If you're going to talk sacrilege like this, I mean, you know, that's sacrilegious, my man.
I'm gonna post this to Instagram and I'm gonna start a thing. But
you already started a thing.
I am not a fan.
Oh man.
So you're saying that my 71 El Camino, my 69 Camaro, that neither of those have good hoods on them. That's what you're saying. You're just not from
the
hood,
both
brother.
Of those cars, but I just would what prefer he's saying, them without Brad, the cowl induction hood.
Oh,
let me speak for you, Matt. Let me speak for it. Brad, what he's saying is you should grow your hair out in the back.
No, what he's saying, what he's saying is that he has been influenced by a cult of Ford for way too long, man.
No, listen, every Fox Mustang account I follow, there's these guys with giant cowl hoods, and I just don't like
them. Oh, I know, right?
Wait a minute. I will say, no, once you go past factory and it's that looks like they stretched it in the stretch, that's ridiculous. That's what I'm talking about.
Like anywhere, like, look, there's the 2-inch and there's 5-inch on the cowl. Like,
yeah.
I just don't like it.
And you put some gauges in there.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of
hey,
it.
Matt, anyway.
When they put the 4-inch cowl and then still cut a hood for something to come through. You know, it's like, wait a minute. What are you thinking?
We just lost half our followers.
Right? I'm sorry. But like, I'm not going to go around and
kick okay, what about car that what about my 67 Chevelle? Are you okay with that hood? The 67 Chevelle SS?
I don't remember what's on it.
It's got the two bumps with the vents on either side.
Those aren't bad with those little kind of angled scoops.
The only problem I ever had with those vents, the day I got the car, I went, why do they put cast aluminum vents and they don't work? Why didn't you make a real vent?
Right.
You know, so, it's like
functional versus not is another conversation.
Especially also, back in 67 when you needed to cool those engines.
It's like the guy from Car Wow, how he puts sticks in all the holes. I love that. It's a
and then also, like, you can't see over the cowl hood. And I get, it's for drag racing.
That's
you're
only
supposed
you,
to see
man.
In the straight line. And, yes, maybe it's only me as a short guy.
Who loves phone books.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Where's this
Matt,
cowl
don't
hood
worry. Because, Matt, don't worry, because when your eyes start to go, you're looking through your bifocals all the time anyway. So your head's naturally up in that position. Everything works out.
Hey, guys. Right. Let's jump off of this because we're never going to,
right.
Obviously.
But I
did want to talk about that stock hood is okay.
I want to talk about that Jeep Wrangler motor that exploded.
Can you believe that thing, man?
What the hell?
I mean, so the guy didn't put it in neutral. He puts it in low gear like you're climbing up a hill. It says right in the manual, do not exceed 25 miles an hour. And then he chose the car. Did you see this yet, man?
Crazy.
Yeah.
The video is hilarious. It's at the mechanic shop. Now, we're talking about, everybody, a brand new 2021 Jeep. The guy
$40,000+ Jeep.
Yeah. And he walks up to him and he goes, hey, we got a new 2021 Jeep here. It looks really nice. He goes, really nice, clean, not a dent, not a ding. Then he shows underneath, goes, you see it's nice and clean underneath. And they go, oh, wait, we got a problem here. And I mean, the bottom
two-thirds of the motor's
exploded, gone. The bell housing's gone. The torque converter's gone. Everything's gone.
I think even Ron Capps raised his eyebrows.
Oh, the crank was busted, and just it was a disaster.
The input shaft. They said it went 50,000 RPM because it was in low gear.
Right. Equivalent.
Imagine what that poor little Jeep was doing back there. Not to mention, wouldn't it be hard to tow in low gear? I wonder what he was towing with, you know?
It was towed behind a motorhome, so it was just
a big diesel. Yeah,
I just probably didn't really notice it at first. And by the way, it doesn't say he drove 40,000 miles in his RV towing that thing in low gear. He could have been doing
blocks.
It for 9 minutes. Yeah,
yeah.
He's been like, you know, just down the street a little bit and just just blew that thing up.
There's only one towing incident that is worse than that that I can think of. And that was in vacation when he left the dog strapped.
I was just thinking that too.
Is, you would think in a low gear like that, it would just lock up the tires, you know?
That's
it's
what
so
I would
torturous.
Think, yeah.
And it would just drag it in rubber, you know?
It probably was. It was probably like, stop, yeah. And then just kept doing it. I mean,
yeah, that's weird. Yeah. But yeah.
So if you can't afford that Bronco body, there's going to be a 2021 Jeep body available.
There's
and those engines are a dime a dozen.
Well, look, anybody that was thinking about getting the Jeep and wanted to do like a Hellcat conversion or something like that, that's a great donor vehicle because you're taking all that crap out anyway. And and everything else was brand new on the truck. So there's a good project vehicle for you guys.
And with the money you'd save, you could buy that motor and then have the complete value of the Jeep and then some. So.
All right.
The only problem, guys, is that I'm learning firsthand via my boat how long these cars that are totaled sit before they're auctioned off.
Yeah.
Mine's been at the lot since July and it still says pending.
Wow.
It's like, I can't even buy my own junk boat back.
Yeah, by the time you get it, it's thrashed. Oh. It's been sitting in the sun. It's been sitting.
They wouldn't let me cover it because they said, no, it's a hazard. If somebody has to get in it, they have to take it off. And then if it goes somewhere. And I'm like, well, let me put the cover on it. And they're like, no. So it's been sitting in the sun, the rain, you know, the boat.
And now it's become a raccoon's litter box.
Yeah, probably.
Like mine was.
All right, guys.
We got to wrap it up because Matt's got big business in the valley.
I've got to do business stuff.
Is that the big valley if you're doing big business down there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to go to Encino.
Encino?
Oh, hey.
Hey, go down.
Say hi to Pauly Shore.
Yeah. Where Encino Man is from. Yeah. It is named
Encino. Hey, say hi to Pauly and Brendan for me, would you?
Yeah, right.
All right, everybody, be sure to find us online, and Matt's going to tell you where.
Who knows? check us out at shiftandsteer.com and follow me on social media at Motorator, and you can follow these two guys as well.
Yeah, we're easy to find.
Find me at Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram. I haven't been putting as much stuff up lately because I haven't been doing that much. I'm just boring lately.
What are you harbored up in your home? Are you social distancing from the world, Brad?
I am still because of my 90-year-old mother who still has one shot to go.
No, so all joking aside,
shows or cars and coffees or anything. So.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, right, hi to your mom, Brad. Hi to your mom.
So, hey everybody, thanks for listening, and be sure can still go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. And, follow us everywhere. Thanks, everybody. Thanks.
Cheers.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.